We are discussing chapter 26 of Mesilat Yesharim, Path of the Just. I'm sure it was no accident it was chapter 26, which is the Gematria of Hashem's name, Yudke Vavke. And we're discussing the last of the different traits, which Ramchal quotes, to get to the point of Ruach HaKodesh and prophecy. And the last trait is Kedusha, is holiness. And we said there are two sections to holiness. One is holiness which a person tries to achieve on their own. And the next step is holiness which is given to him by Hashem. So why? The question is, why do we need two stages to holiness? Why can't a person achieve holiness by themselves? And the answer is because mortal man is attached to his body too much. We're attached to our body. We're linked to the materialism. So it's impossible for a person to totally break away from their body. That's the problem. And therefore, even though we can try our best to be holy, and we can climb certain levels, we're sort of held back by our bodies. So our bodies hold us back. And therefore we crash land. We come back to the ground. Just like doing Kedusha, right? We do Kedusha, we go up on our steps. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. You know, there's two ways of doing it. The Shulchan Aruch says, you go up, you go down, you go up, you go down, you go up, and down. Kadosh, 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 right? Kabbalists say no. You go up, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Then you come down. Everyone agrees you have to come down. There's no, you can't just stay up there. That's the trouble. So the trouble with Kedusha is, it's elusive. Why is it elusive? Because you can become as holy as you want, but eventually you're going to get pulled down. That's the trouble. That's the trouble with Kedusha. So that's why he says, it's very hard for a physical human being to become holy. And that's why the second level of holiness is, it's a gift. It has to be a gift, because there's no way a person can keep it. And that's how he explains the difference between a person who is tahor, pure, and holy. So a person who is tahor tries to remove materialism from their lives, or cut down on materialism as much as possible. Okay, so then they leave the bad part of materialism behind. However, they're not holy yet. So what does it mean, holiness and purity? Now that's the question. What does it mean, holiness and purity? And the answer is, it's all in the mind. Purity is leaving the bad and leaving the materialism, the bad parts of materialism. What you don't need is unnecessary. What you don't need is unnecessary. And that's considered the bad part of materialism. However, to get to holiness requires thought. What kind of thought? I want to cling to God. So you can leave the materialism without the thought of clinging to God. That's not holiness, that's purity. But a person leaves the materialism and intends to cling to God, that is holiness. Okay, so that's a very, very important point over here. What is holiness? Holiness is the intent to leave materialism and cling to God. Two things. It's not enough to leave the materialism, that's all. That's tahara, that's purity. A person has to also cling to God. So that's a very, very important idea. And that's where we had a question, how can you cling to God? We're human beings, we have physical bodies, we have physical functions. And that's the second part. You try and cling to God as much as you can, and Hashem will give you a gift. He'll cling to you, you'll cling to Him. He'll manufacture that bond between the two of you. And then a person becomes on a much higher level. There's no comparison. To a person struggling to become holy and a person who gets holiness from above. No comparison. You can't compare the two cases. Because when Hashem sanctifies the person, they're 100% dedicated to holiness. Moshe Rabbeinu, 100% dedicated to holiness. Eliyahu Navi, 100% dedicated to holiness. The forefathers, and that's the example he brings here. A person who sanctifies themselves and is holy to God becomes like a temple. And that's really what the Pasuk says. Right? What does the Pasuk say? It says, you will build for me a Mishkan, v'shachanti betocham, and I'll dwell in you. It doesn't say I'll dwell in it. I'll dwell in you, v'shachanti betocham, I'll dwell amongst you. The idea is that we should build a Mishkan. We ourselves are the Mishkan. That's the higher level. The highest level is a person himself will become Mishkan. By all the time pleading for Hashem's connection. I want Hashem's connection. I want Hashem's connection. I want Hashem's connection. That's so hard to get the connection. So now tefillah, when a person prays, you're trying to make that connection. You're trying to make that spark. A person praying Shemona Esrei. A person prays, sometimes you don't feel a connection. You have to make that connection. How do you make the connection? You have to plead with Hashem, please, Hashem, I want a connection with you. It's like Birkat Kohanim, right? I don't know if you pay attention to Birkat Kohanim, but Birkat Kohanim. You have to actually focus and say, Hashem, I want you to, your blessing, I want to feel your blessing coming into me. You have to actually feel it coming into you, it's not coming in. You don't feel it coming in, it's not coming in. And the Kohen's got to feel the power between his fingers. The Hashem's Shekhinah, the blessing is coming from between the fingers. So the Midrash says, based on the Pasuk with Abraham Avinu, Hashem came to visit Abraham, where? Elohim Amre. He just had his Brit Milah. And then the angels came, three angels, and Abraham leaves. And Hashem leaves Abraham. And the Pasuk says, V'yal me'alav Elohim. Hashem v'yal, went up from him. Went up from him. Okay, one second, what do you mean went up from him? Where is Hashem? He sees Hashem is riding on top of him. That's what the Midrash says. Havot hen hen ha-merkava, that the forefathers are the chariots of God in the world. Hashem is riding on Abraham. What do you mean Hashem is riding on Abraham? What do you mean riding on Abraham? Well, don't take it literally. Hashem's not riding on Abraham. The Holy Spirit is resting on him. So therefore, when he's walking, the Holy Spirit is on him. He is the chariot of God. He is the chariot of the Holy Spirit, wherever he goes. And that's what the Midrash says. The righteous people are the chariots of God in the world. We are the vehicles. That's what it means. What does it mean, a chariot? A chariot is a vehicle. We are the vehicles to bring God into the world. That's what it means. A righteous person is a vehicle. You know, it's interesting. They talk about Merkava meditation. So Arya Kaplan explains. Arya Kaplan, very nicely. Merkava is a vehicle. It's a meditation to get closer to God. It's used as a vehicle to God. That's a Merkava meditation. So same thing over here. A righteous person is a chariot of God. What does that mean? It's a vehicle that God can use to bring God into this world. That's what Avraham Avinu was. A vehicle that God used to bring God into this world. He brought God into this world. He spread the word of God into this world. So anyone who spreads the word of God into this world is a vehicle for God in the world. That's what I'm saying. A Merkava. What's a Merkava? Chariot. A chariot for God in this world. A vehicle. Why? Because the Shekhinah is resting on that person. Just like it rested in the Beit HaMikdash. Wow, that's amazing. Think about it. The Shekhinah's presence rests in the Beit HaMikdash. A person sanctifies themselves. The Shekhinah's presence is resting on them. Sometimes you can see it. It's scary. The Shtaipla. Oh boy. You can see the Shekhinah's presence on the Shtaipla. Awesome. 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 Some people hide it. And they're more humble. You know, they just try. It's amazing how they hide it. Me'atah, from now, what about the food they eat? So our question was, how can a person become holy when you have all these physical functions? So the answer is, you're right. The first kind of holiness is a lower kind of holiness. It's one that a person strives for. You can't retain it. Unless Hashem gives it to a person as a gift. The second holiness, which is given as a gift, you can retain even through the physicality. How? So he says, the food that a person eats is like a korban. The second level person. There's holy one and holy two. Holy one is a person struggling on himself. Comes and goes, ebbs and flows. Holy two is a direct connection from Hashem, gift from Hashem. And then whatever person does physical, like a Midas touch, he turns into spiritual. Doesn't turn into gold, but turns into spirituality. So even the food he eats becomes a korban. Why? Because his mind is fixed on God. His mind is fixed on serving God. Whatever I'm eating is for Hashem. Whatever I'm drinking is for Hashem. So that's really the highest level a human being can reach, basically. Is a converter of physicality into spirituality. That's our mission, really. Our mission is to try and reach the highest levels because we have body and a soul. The soul is pulling us up and the body is pulling us down. So usually the body wins over the soul. But here a person can beat the body. Pull the body up. Why? Because his, as Yaakov, you know, the story of the ladder, right? Sulam mutzav arza v'rosho magia hashamayma. The ladder's base was based on the ground, but its head was in the sky. And that's the key. The key is the head is in the sky. If a person's head is with Hashem, doesn't matter where they are on the ground, Everything they do is dedicated to Hashem, and everything is sanctified to Hashem. So it's a very, very powerful idea. So therefore, all the food and drink that this person will eat gets a tremendous boost upwards, as if it was brought on the altar itself. And that's what the Gemara says. Whoever brings a gift to this kind of person, it's as if they brought bikurim to the temple. They brought the new fruits to the temple. And the wine they give this person is like nesachim, like wine which is offered on the altar. Okay, so we're talking about the second level of holiness. And therefore, whatever that person does in this world, since they're clinging to God, becomes sanctified. We say by Yaakov Avinu, right? He took the stones of the place. First pillow fight in history, right? Made him a pillow. Amra Rabbi Yitzhak. Rabbi Yitzhak says, Melamed shli kapsu kulam v'hayta kol echad omret. They all gathered together these stones. Metaphorically, it was as the souls inside the stone says, let the Sariq rest his head on me. I want the Sariq instead of me. It's amazing how the material, we have to really realize that we don't really appreciate it. The material is looking for a tikkun. The food is looking for a tikkun. Imagine. The cow is looking for a tikkun. The shochet has to say a bracha to slaughter the cow. Imagine. The cow has to have a tikkun. The cow, the shochet slaughters it wrong. Missed up the whole tikkun of the cow. Misken. The soul in the cow is suffering. It got back again and stopped the other cow. Horrible. The cow is waiting for someone to eat it who's going to elevate the cow. Who's going to elevate the meat? Who's going to elevate the cookies? Who's going to elevate it? We need someone to elevate it. So you can imagine, the materialism is waiting for this uplift. Sometimes it can wait thousands of years. It's like, it's what? Just one Jew to pass by. You know, sometimes the Jews pass by in the middle of nowhere. Say one bracha. Wow, tikkun. Everything's tikkun. Amazing. How the power of a Jew. Amazing. Power of a mitzvah. Power of a bracha. So the materialism, we don't really appreciate it. We have to try and visualize this. The materialism is waiting for us to fix it. We have to fix the materialism. And who can fix it the best is this pious person. This pious person can fix it the best. Okay. So how? By fixing one's mind totally on Hashem. It's so hard to fix one's mind on Hashem all the time. So many distractions. So a person's going to know how to fix their mind on God all the time. And then when a person can fix their mind on Hashem, they become like the angels. Psh, imagine, a human being can become like an angel. He became like the angels above in this world. Wow. So a person's a human being walking around, but he's an angel walking around. Because his mind is always with Hashem. Well, what's the angel? Angel is a creation of God, and he's just doing God's will all the time. A human being does God's will all the time is a human angel. Very simple. That's a very high level, to be a human angel. What's a human angel? A messenger of God in this world, all the time. Whatever they do, Hashem, I'm doing this for you, I'm doing this for you, I'm doing this for you, I'm doing this for you. Very high level. Very, very high level. And truth is, it's a gift, because usually it comes and it goes, ebbs and flows. Spirituality comes, and spirituality goes. It comes easy, and it goes easy. How many are feeling spiritual? Crash after Yom Kippur. And people crash straight after Yom Kippur, they go and eat, go back to being a human being, or worse. So it's a crash. We're like that. That's how we're body and soul. We're just pulled in both directions. But this person, like this, is a gift from God that he's always attached, always on, 24/7, Moshe Rabbeinu. However, it's impossible, as he says, again, he repeats again, it's impossible for a person to achieve this without God's help. Impossible. A person can try, and they can get all the good traits, which we talked about already at the beginning of the book, up to here, from the beginning of Zehirut, which is caution, all the way to Yirat Chet, which is the last trait we talked about. And then they'll come to the holiness and they'll be successful. However, if he doesn't have all those traits we talked about before, this level is high. It's impossible. Impossible. So without going through the whole book, you can't get to this level. You can't skip all the previous steps. You cannot go up the climb of the mountain of God and skip 1,000 feet. You got to go through the whole process. It's impossible to skip. There's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts to climbing the mountain of God. A person's got to climb this whole mountain. And if a person clings to God with the whole, look at this. Let's just go through slowly over here. A person will increase their clinging. There's a mitzvah in the Torah. Bought it back. Cling to God. How do you cling to God? Shaviti Hashem legdi tamid. David HaMelech says, put God before your eyes all the time. Visualize Hashem before your eyes. It's so hard. You give up. You give up all the time. But he does it with love. That's hard as well. You love Hashem. You love. Person's going to find a way to get to love Hashem. How does a person love Hashem? Usually through, number one, Hakarat HaTov. Think about all the good things Hashem did for you. Right? What did God give us? You know, most people don't appreciate it. What did God do for you today?
Life.
Beautiful. What else? Health. Oh boy. Being in hospital is like, become a pincushion. Become a pincushion. These guys, come every 2 hours they come draw blood. Every 2 hours. They pump you with stuff. So it's a person has to appreciate, and the appreciation should bring a person to love. Trouble is we don't appreciate enough. All the blessings are for appreciation. That's the whole idea, saying a blessing. All the morning blessings. It's over. We don't appreciate. What's the idea? The idea is to appreciate. We have to appreciate. Hashem, modeh, ani, lefaneh. First word in our mouths is thank you. Toda, modeh, modeh. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciation brings us to love. And the trouble is today, we don't appreciate anything. We don't appreciate our parents. Don't appreciate what they do for us. Nothing. There's no appreciation. Unfortunately, it's a tragedy. People are spoiled. Spoiled brats. Really. We expect. We don't thank. We expect. I want this and I want that one and that. What about what have I gave you already? Huh? Magiali. Here's what they say. Magiali. I deserve it. Hashem. It's not Magiali. Person's going to say thank you Hashem for what you gave me. And you know what the Arizal says? He says when you say thank you, you get much more. It's a trigger for blessing. The bracha is a trigger for blessing. That's the biggest trigger for blessing. If you say Birkat HaMazon properly, Hashem will shower you blessings. Just Birkat HaMazon. So very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. So a person's going to know where everything comes from. That's very, very important. That's why Poteach et Yadeh is so important. And a person's going to think, everything I have comes from one God. God gave it to me, and everything I have comes from Him, and He's the source of everything. And this way, where is it going to come from? I'm praying to Him to give me more. He's the source. The source of everything I have. So gratitude brings to love. And wonder brings to love. Looking around, Rambam says, the wonders of creation. You say, wow, amazing, Hashem is amazing.
Well, the wonders of creation, it would seem that would be more awe.
It's more awe, but it's also love in a sense because Hashem did it for me.
Yeah.
A person's got to think, Hashem built this world for me. Wow. All these stars, all the moon, the star, everything for me? You, for you. Hashem did it for you. Imagine a person goes to Shamayim. Hashem says, I gave you the whole world. Well, I had to share with 7 billion people. Yeah, but in your consciousness, you're the one who is working at it. You're the one appreciating it. That's for you. Everyone can appreciate the world. It's massive. It's big enough for everyone. It's amazing. Today we can see there's enough for everyone to go around. All you need is one app. I make millions. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense. It's so easy today. It's never been easier to make money than ever before in the world history. It's never been easier to reach people. Right now, we're going to reach people. We reach thousands. Who knows how many people we reach? You put a podcast, we have 280,000 hits on our podcast right now. That was yesterday. So every day, it's amazing how you can reach people today. It's amazing. Baruch Hashem. We're living in an amazing era. Technology can be used for good, or technology can be used for bad. You can use technology for holiness. This way you make the technology the chariot of God. Can you imagine? The chariot of God, the vehicle of God in the world can be technology. And the chariot for evil could also be technology. It's amazing. So a person, same thing. A person can use themselves to be a chariot, a vehicle for holiness. And a person can use themselves to be a vehicle for tumah. Had a guy come to me once, young boy. Very handsome guy. He said, Rabbi, I want to be an actor. I said, yeah. It's a good job for a Jewish boy, right? So what are you going to do with all the acting you have to do and the immorality? Huh. That is a little bit of a problem. So Baruch Hashem, he stopped. He didn't want to be, he didn't want to become an actor. Then he wanted to become a policeman. Okay. Shabbat, this and that. Okay, so now he's a... Okay, I want to see what he's... Now he's working in a kosher company, Baruch Hashem. He's a manager of a kosher company. So anyway, but that's it. A person's got to find a way to find the holy path in life. You can do anything. You can do the same job in a holy way. You can do the same job in a world. Right? So to find the direction in life. So cling to holiness. That's what a person's got to try and do. Okay, we can't get to this level. This is a gift. But at least we can do is try our best to cling to holiness as much as we can in our lives. And try and bring God into our lives as much as possible, and try and spread the word of God into the world as much as possible. That's our mission. But this person is totally holy. Why? Because God gave him a gift. He gave him that connection 24/7. And even the lowest deeds he does, physically, are like sacrifices. It's amazing. How? Let's think of something really simple. In Jewish law, what is the holiest thing you can do? Engage in. Huh? Procreation. Beautiful. And so upside down. Everything is upside down over here. In secular, the Christian, though, it's like tuma. It's like, it's the worst thing you can do. And the holiest people have to keep away from it. Whereas in Judaism, that is the holiest part of everything else. Why? Engaged in procreate, engaged in creating a human being. You have to be holy. You want to bring a holy neshama into this world. You better be holy. Or it's not going to be such a holy neshama.
I mean, if you do it in a state of unholiness, it could be the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, could be. It could be. But I'm just saying, it's not meant to be an unholy act. It's meant to be a holy act. That's all that. It's a very high level. And the Ramban, no less, the big Kabbalist, wrote of Igeret HaKodesh. He got a letter called the Holy Letter, which everyone should read before they get married. Holy Letter. So, but a person's holy can make everything holy. That's what we're saying. Can make even the most mundane act holy. Because his head is in the clouds. His head is in Hashem. So Yaakov Avinu is bringing the Shvatim into the world. And his wives. Can you imagine how much they desired him? And how much they desired him to get them pregnant? Because they wanted to bring holy Neshamot into this world. They weren't doing it because of fun and enjoyment. They were doing it because they want to bring holy. That's the thought behind it. We have to bring holy souls into this world. Otherwise, we're holding up the whole process. It says, the Shulchan Aruch says, the first halakha in Evenes, a person does not engage in pruvu, shofechta, kilu shofechta mim. It's like a murderer. What? What? Yeah, because you didn't do it. You didn't kill anyone. You just didn't bring them into the world. It's like, I didn't bring people into the world. Hashem says, where are all the people? Where are all your family? Where's your family? What family? Where's all the people you're meant to bring in the world? I don't know. Can't tell. I don't know. It's very hard. Today it's very hard. I don't know why. But we have an obligation. This is a very, very major. And the more souls that come into the world, the more Shekhinah presence there is in the world. Holy souls. The more holiness there is in the world. The more godliness there is in the world. The more minyanim there are in the world. Can you imagine? You're helping bring, make a minyan. More kids you have in the world. What? Baruch Hashem, it's such a beautiful thing to have. Thank God I got married early. I'm telling you, the best thing to do is get married as soon as you can. And have children who are Yirei Shamayim. Send them to yeshiva, educate them. It's such a powerful thing. It's such a big bracha. It's a massive bracha. So everything the person will do, become holy. Hine. How does a person do this? So the answer is separation, number one. Separation from the mundane. And look at this. This is already Kabbalah already. Iyun atzum b'sitrei hashgacha yona. Tremendous research into how divine providence works. That's I was gonna think. How many steps did Hashem do to get me to this point? How did I get to this point? Hashem is in my life. Look at all the different... If you think of life as a flowchart, right? All the different paths we could have taken. How do I get to this point right now? I see in my life certain life-altering changes that Hashem arranged, because I couldn't have arranged it. Out of my control. Person's got to look in their lives and find Hashgacha Pratit. Umatzpunei Abriya, and the hiddenness of the creation. Look what he's saying. Look at it. Look, it's very simple language, but it's very deep language over here. That a person needs to learn Kabbalah, basically. That's what he's saying. He's not saying explicitly. He's saying, a person's got to try and find Hashgacha. Look for the Hashgacha. Deep Hashgacha. Matzpune Habriya, and the hidden things in the creation. And then to know the greatness of God. And know God's praises. Until the person clings to God completely. Okay. But it's not enough. How do you cling to God completely? He's going to know how to meditate. It's all here. This is all in code over here. Person's going to know how to meditate when he's walking. Person's walking and meditating on God. Today it's easy. You put an MP3, put headphones on, listen to the speech, and meditating about God. Holiness, it's amazing. So you can do it. You can drive your car and meditate. You just be careful. Don't meditate too, you know. So even though he's walking in the physical way, he's thinking about God when he's walking. Just like a Kohen who's bringing offerings to God in his Mizbeach is thinking about God. So too this guy, when he's walking down the street, he's also thinking about God. Until he's getting tremendous blessing from God. Otherwise, he'll never get to this point. So in other words, if your head is somewhere else, you never get to this point. The person's going to think, try and fill their head with spirituality, and fill their head with God. That's the only key to become holy. Otherwise, he'll be as physical as the next human being. The person thinks, you know, what's for lunch? What's for dinner? What's for this? And that's all of us. We're all Americans, right? What do you think about? Most people think about what we're going to eat next. What's for next? I'm hungry. Well, what time am I going to sleep? Well, movie I'm going to see? It's all physicality in the head. Those are going to remove that physicality and think about Hashem. So how does the person get to this point? So now he's going to give us some hints. Number one. What helps the person to get to this? Hidbodedut. What's Hidbodedut? Solitude. Meditation. Solitude. Because what happens is, and that's the trouble, there's cell phones and this and that and the other, we're just distracted all the time. Distracted. We appreciate harbe and separation from all these luxuries and materialism. So that nothing will disturb the person mind from focusing on God. Basically, you got to go to Shiva, sit over there, and even then, sometimes you get disturbed by other things going around. If you can find a quiet corner, I think about Hashem, think about the Torah, think about this, and just imbibe spirituality. That helps a lot to become holy, and then hopefully Hashem will eventually pour the holiness into the person. Okay, so that's basically the end of the chapter, but then we're talking about things which stop the holiness. I just want to recap. This is a very, very powerful part of what he's saying. Number one is separation. Number two is examining divine providence, how it works. That's already a whole field. That's a whole science. Divine providence. The secrets of creation. That's another whole field. The knowledge of God's greatness. Until a person will cling to God all the time. And then how do you cling to God? You have to know how to meditate your mind. Focus your mind on clinging to God. That's meditation. And what helps is solitude, separation. Remove all distractions. Those are the things that help a person to become holy. What stops a person from becoming holy? Number one. You ready? Peers. Chevra. Them regular people. Who are just physical, materialistic people. Who's coming to the party tonight? Who's going to see this movie? You're going to come here? You're going to go there? I come to you, you come to me, we come for tea, and we come there, chit-chat, and that's it. It's over. Life's over before you go. It's very hard to avoid this.
Unless your surprise is like that of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai.
Yeah, you put around you the You go to the Idra, you sit in the cave, and you have your friends around you, your Sadiqim around you, and you discuss the all day.
Unless you hide in here.
Yeah.
The Ramchal's, the Ramchal led a society, you know.
Of yeah, of course. Except yeah, of course. The Ramchal, yeah. The Chida, Ahavat Shalom.
The Rashash.
Yeah, Rashash.
There was a different one also, same time.
And the Arizal, of course, the students of Arizal. They made a society. They made their own peers, friends that can help each other. Until one day there's a machloket. And that machloket killed the Arizal. Said, because of this machloket, I'm dying now. Horrible, horrible. The wife started and the husband continued. It's horrible, horrible. Because they made a pact with each other. They will help each other and not fight with each other. That was the Arizal's condition to teach them. You will have to agree to be friendly and... I'll tell you, the Yetzirah is such a great, this machloket is the worst thing in the world. You should always run away from machloket. You should always run away from machloket.
Was that the inyan of what the Arizal established to say, Harinime Kabela
Laimi? Yeah, of course. Yeah, before you pray Shachari. The person is going to say, I accept upon myself, V'aftar Recha Kamocha. Because my prayers will help you, and your prayers will help me, and your concentration will help me, and my concentration will help you. My spirituality will help you, and your spirituality will help me. Because really, we're all one, we just don't realize it. All our souls are one. We don't realize it. We feel it. You can feel it sometimes. You feel you're linked to someone. Why would a Jew in America send money to a Jew in Russia to go to Israel? He doesn't know the guy. What's going on over here? They're raising money to send help other Jews. We don't even know these people. And the answer is we do. We were there together at Sinai. Our souls are related. So it's very, very critical. This idea of loving and helping and very critical. Because when a person is generous, Hashem is generous with them. Right? The way we treat others, that's the way Hashem treats us. You treat others generously and you're forgiving and you forget and you're easygoing. Hashem says, oh, I like that. I'm going to be like that with you. But a person is judgmental, Hashem says, oh, you're judgmental. I'll be with you. It's very hard. It's very hard to be always easygoing. Especially in business, boy. Especially in business. Because then you got to pay up. I mean, it's not easy going in business, you know. So it's very hard. So, but in general, in life, a person should try and be as easygoing and be as friendly. But again, too much peers around it can distract a person. So a person's got to know when to withdraw and who to mix with. And just like our children. How do we guard our children? Who make sure they mix with the right company? They're mixing the wrong friends. Oh boy, it finished. Very quickly. Very quickly. You can tell the child by which company he keeps. Very simple. Right? You can tell a kid. So a person who is stuck in bad company will never get to this level. Never. But when he leaves them and he prepares himself for holiness, the way he wants to go, Hashem will help him to go. And with Hashem's help, his soul will grow and get stronger and beat the physicality. So there's a battle going on we don't really realize between our physical and our spiritual sides all the time. All the time. And the way to holiness is by battling the physicality and rising above it. Until the person will grow to a very high level. And that is the level of Ruach HaKodesh. Wow! You hear that? There's a way to get to Ruach HaKodesh. This is the path. Basically, that's what he's saying. This is the path to get to Ruach HaKodesh. That a person's mind will get above the physical way of thinking. Imagine. There's a level above the way people think. So there's a physical way of thinking. So a person with very high IQ, very brilliant genius, but he's still thinking in a physical way. But there's a path above that. A person can rise above the physical way of thinking. It's a godly path, which is very hard. We can't even know. We don't even know what it is. That's Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh is pretty much linking to the angels. We said the lowest angel is called Ish. The Ishim, Rambam says. And a person and the angel are now buddies. Getting messages backwards and forwards. And a person gets to very, very high connections above. And he'll get even the key of Tikkat HaMitim. Eliyahu Nabi did Tikkat HaMitim, Elisha did Tikkat HaMitim. The Gemara says all the Tanaim knew how to do Tikkat HaMitim. They could do Tikkat HaMitim. They could raise the dead. The Gemara says a very famous story, beautiful story. Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was an Amora. Rabbi Yochanan was the student of the student of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And one day Rav Kahana comes to visit him from Babylon. And Rav Kahana had a very twisted face somehow. You know, he looked like he was smiling all the time. So he went in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan! Are you laughing at me? He looked at him, gave him one look, it says, and he turned him into a gal shel atzamot, pile of bones. So this other student said, Rabbi, what have you done? That was Rav Kahana from Babylon. He's a great rabbi. Yeah, why was he laughing at me? He wasn't laughing at you. That's the way he looked. That's the way his face was shaped. It wasn't his fault. Oh, really? Uh-oh. Okay. Let me go to his grave. Kahana! Get up. No answer. My friend Kahana, get up. No answer.
My teacher
Kahana, get up. Kahana gets up.
Was that just to give him kavod, or was he actually on a higher level?
He was on a higher level, sure.
So if he was on a higher
level, in other words,
how was he able to kill him?
I'll tell you. It's very,
how could someone on a lower level do that to someone on a higher level?
They're both on a high level. But you know, his humility. So in other words, it depends on how a person wants to use it. Like, some people are ferocious. Well, they're scary. Some people are calm. You know, you have different rabbis. Some rabbis, like Hillel, was very calm. Shammai was rough. So Rav Yochanan was very harif. Well, you don't mess around Rav Yochanan. He, very scary guy. And Rav Kahana was easygoing. So, you want. But the truth is, in the end, Rav Kahana had to be raised up. He had to be called Rav Kahana. My Rabbi Kahana, get up. Oh, boy.
That was the reason why it happened.
That's right.
That everybody would know.
Okay. But it's a big miracle. Anyway, okay. So we see over there, they had the power of Tziyat HaMetim. Gemara says also, two rabbis. It was the Purim. And he invites him for Suda. He gets drunk and he shucks him. After Purim, he wakes up from his stupor. Tziyat HaMetim. Get up. Gets him up. Says, next year, you come to my house for Purim? Ah, I'm not coming to your house next time. Who knows if there'll be a miracle? I don't rely on miracles. Scary stuff. But we see the power they had because they had Ruach HaKodesh. So Ruach HaKodesh is a key. There's keys attached to it. It comes with other things as well. Tziyat HaMetim. Like Eliyahu and Elisha. Because they clung to God. Because God is the source of life. If God is the source of life and you're clinging to God, then you also become the source of life. Shlosha maftichot lemesul biyad shaliach. The Gemara says in Tani. Three keys were never given away. One of them was a key of Tziyat HaMetim. However, if you cling to God, you can do that. And that's where the bright ends up. That's the beginning which he saw. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. If you go to the cemetery in Tzfat, there's the two opinions. Who is Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair? Some people say he was the son-in-law of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. But the Zohar says he was the father-in-law of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That was where he was. The father-in-law of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, compared to Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, was like a little kid. But after he was in the cave for 12 years, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair was very impressed with him. Then Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai became, wow, gadol. So Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair is buried in the cemetery in Tzfat. And there's a whole custom of going around his grave 7 times. Very, very interesting. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair was a big tzaddik. And he wrote this brayta, which the whole book is based. This leads to this, leads to this, leads to this. Kutusha mevi lidei Ruach HaKodesh. That's the end of the brayta. Holiness brings to Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brings to Tziyat HaMetim. That's the end of the writer. So imagine, person gets holy level. We can try, until Hashem has to decide, this guy deserves it, I'm going to give it to him. And the gift comes with Tziyat HaMetim, with Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, so now we're going to conclude with the conclusion of the Ramchal. Ata kore na'im, now my pleasant reader, he says. I know. I didn't finish this book. This book is not complete. It doesn't have everything in it. I didn't say everything that should be said on this topic. Because there's no end to this topic. Torah does not end. But I said, at least I'll put some little details down. This way you have some idea what's going on. And this will be the beginning for your research. This little book is the beginning for your research. Don't take it as the end of your research. Today, you know, most people just, this is the end. This is, you can't get. But it should be the beginning. In other words, I'm giving you some hints. I'm writing you a little dissertation. And you have to work on it to go deeper. And that's what Mishlei says in chapter 1, verse 5. Yishmach achav Yosef lekach. The wise man will hear and add to it. Right? You hear something and then the person's smart. He'll just be able to add to it. So same thing over here. Read this book and now you have to add. How many people really study this book? I mean, I don't know anyone who really, really spends a lot of time on this book and tries to add and try to think and re-examine. And it's really powerful. It's a powerful book. That's the idea. The idea is this book is just a stepping stone. And whoever comes to purify themselves, Hashem helps them. Hashem gives wisdom. And from his mouth, he gives understanding and knowledge. Okay. It's obvious, he says. Every person according to their knowledge. Everyone according to their profession. A person who learns Torah all day, his piety will not be the same as a person who works. And a person who's a merchant, his piety is not going to be different than a person who's busy in other things. So everyone has their own level of piety, as we say. Amazing. In other words, a person's going to find their own individual piety. I don't do what you do, I do what I do. I've got to find my level. I'm a teacher, or be a pious teacher. You're a businessman, you've got to be a pious businessman. You're a scientist, you've got to be a pious scientist. By the way, I learned more Torah from my science teacher in school than from the Torah teachers. For some reason. The guy was inspired. And we respected him because he was a science teacher. The rabbis we didn't expect. The rabbis. But the science teacher, oh, was genius, this guy. And he would say Dvar Torah at the end of the class. That's all. And everyone listened because he was a science teacher. So imagine, science teacher sometimes has more power than the rabbi. It's amazing. So if it comes from someone else, it's sometimes more powerful. So he was a holy science teacher. And Hashem in his mercy should open his eyes, open our eyes in his Torah, and teach us his ways, and bring us in his paths, and let us all be worthy to bring honor and glory to God's name. Yikavod Hashem leolam, yismach Hashem ma'asav, yismach Hashem ma'asav, b'letzion yigiv malkam, amen, amen, amen. Okay, now we're going to finish off the ending. Amar HaMechaber, the writer says, now I will give thanks to God and I will praise him. He helped me in his mercy to take out this book, Mislat Yisharim. Hashem helped me. This book was written in 8 days. He wrote this book in 8 days. It's impossible. Unless you have Ruach HaKodesh. He has Ruach HaKodesh. So Hashem helped me. Maybe I'll be worthy that other people will be worthy through me. I'll be the vehicle that other people will grow through me. And good things will happen to them because of me. And I will give greatness and I will give pleasure to God. And this will be my comfort in this land. I guess he was in Italy at that time.
I think Amsterdam was what he wrote.
You wrote Amsterdam or Italy?
In 1740, right?
Okay.
I think it was in Amsterdam then at the time.
Okay. And then he mentions his rabbi, Harav Yaakov ben Harav Abraham Basan, who was his rabbi, who taught him his Torah, and who printed and he looked after this book. Okay, so he praises him as well. And Rabbi Rafael Miledola. Oh, Rafael Miledola is interesting, very interesting. He became the chief rabbi of the Chacham of England. Rafael Miledola moved from Amsterdam to England. And he's buried in a cemetery in Mile End. I went to college right next door, and the college bought the cemetery. It was a really terrible story. Yeah, very old Sephardic cemetery. 1700s. They're going to extend the college. They bought the cemetery, and they dug up all the graves, and they moved all the graves, but when they got to his grave, they stopped. It was very strange. He was the Chacham. Suddenly, they ran out of money. It was very strange, because he's right there. They stopped at his grave. Everything stopped. I think he's still stopped till today. It was very weird. They dug up everywhere in the cemetery, and they moved them.
His grave is still there today?
His grave is still there. Rafael Medulla. Yeah. He must be a very holy man, because he's mentioned by the Ramchal, and they couldn't dig him up. They wanted to dig him up. They couldn't dig him up. Okay. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen v'hem inyan. Rabbi Chananiah ben Akasha. Amen.